Are we still on for next Thursday? Is that what we decided?
Next Thursday.
All right.
Ron's going to come join us as well.
Who is?
Ron.
Oh, Ron. That's right. Okay. So and who's our fourth?
We'll need to figure out one more.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But anybody
want to come? Anybody?
What day?
Anybody busy next
Friday?
Thursday?
We need to play against Thursday. Ron and whoever the fourth person is. We need to play together against a good player.
Yeah.
That's how we're going to.
I was actually thinking we're on separate courts. You do your own thing.
No, look. I
no, we do
I,
need to
I
practice
appreciate
together.
The humor, but I do not want to get run off the court right away.
Okay, so I think because of the time, it's going to be like 1:45. It's right off the freeway.
Okay.
So right when you get off the freeway, it's there. I think because we're going to be going at kind of the 2 o'clock-ish range,
okay.
I don't know how many people are going to be there. I know at 5 or 4:30 when we went, it was a packed house, so we'll see. We'll see what's there.
We need to find somebody good to school us.
Yeah, I agree.
We need to get beat up a little bit, right? Just smoking somebody that's just as bad as we are doesn't. I don't think it's going to help us a lot.
I don't know. What does Ron tell like the whole sales crew back there if he's playing at 2?
Yeah, maybe he's trying to meet a client in Pasadena.
Partner.
That's right. Thank you.
No, but you're right. That's what he's going to run with.
Jason D. writes, so Slee, it's the apocalypse and you get to choose the movie that represents it. You go 2012, Terminator, or Day After Tomorrow?
Can I pick, what's the Will Smith movie, iRobot?
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Okay, because I think that's where we're heading. AI is going to take over.
Well, that's Terminator, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
Terminator was the machines become sentient and they take over.
iRobot's actually really good. We'll go Terminator then in that predicament.
That seems, I haven't seen the other ones. Terminator's the only one I've seen, but that looks awful. Like, if we're going to have an apocalypse, can the world just literally, blow up and just end right away? Like,
it's quick.
I don't want to fight a war against the machines. That sounds really terrible.
Yeah, and I don't want them to draw it out, too, on purpose, knowing they're going
to
win, but they're
harvest.
Just saying to themselves, let's just practice a little bit.
What about the Matrix, right? We're all in those little pods. That seems pretty terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do any of those things. Let's try Huntington Beach and Joe. Joe, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Joe?
John,
I'm sorry. John.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
No, it's Joe. It's Joe.
Joe.
Great.
Go ahead, John.
No,
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No. The Clippers bringing in Russell Westbrook has to be the dumbest move by a sports organization since the Dodgers traded Pedro Martinez for Delino DeShields. The Clippers needed a point guard. What does a point guard do? A good point guard controls the ball, controls the flow of the game, controls his emotions, gets his teammates involved, thinks pass first, and if the defense sags on him, can hit a three. That is the opposite of what Russell Westbrook brings. And like Travis said before, just because there was no risk in bringing him in doesn't mean there's no harm. I mean, I think it was just an absolutely ridiculous move for them to bring him in.
Well, and on top of that, by the way, that is a great way. There's no risk, but doesn't mean there isn't going to be harm. That's a perfect description of
it. This is what I do.
This is what he does. This is what he does. I do think that even if you brought him in, I wasn't maybe as negative when they brought him in. I didn't think to myself the world's going to end because I think I just had that much. The Clippers roster is so good, and I've been waiting for them. They're going to click. They're going to click.
Isn't that
click.
A reason not to do it?
But I also didn't think this is how they were going to use him.
Yeah.
You're using him this much. He just completely comes in as a starter right out the gate. And I don't think it's all on him, but I also don't think you can really have a conversation with the Clippers without saying they're 0-4 since he's been there.
I don't think you could have said any that. Them being 0-4 in their last four is not exclusively Russell Westbrook's fault, but it is weird that a team that we all agree is pretty good has lost four in a row, and those four games directly line up with his arrival.
First game after the break
was
the Sacramento game.
Okay.
They were up 14 with 4.5 minutes left.
They were
up 6 in the first overtime. They were up 6 in the second overtime, still lost.
They, in their four-game losing streak, they've blown a double-digit lead in all four of them. That's a fact.
Do you know what that it just kind of it reminds me of right out the gate when they lost to Denver in the bubble up 3-1.
Yeah,
they blew double digit leads in each one of the closing games.
What's the number for you? To where you feel like you're either behind by X points or ahead by X points? You feel like okay, this one's over because in the NBA it's not 10. Like the NBA,
how much time left? It doesn't matter.
At any point in the game, you're like, okay, I feel really good about this.
I'll give you the number. Lakers were down. I think anytime you're down 20.
Me too.
Right? So that's it. When Lakers were down 27, whatever that was,
game was over.
Like, yeah, the game's over. I'm like, I got hyped up for this.
Yeah.
And then they just kind of worked their way back.
That literally is the biggest comeback of the entire
20
season.
20 is the number for
me. I think so too. If you go up by 20, you're going to win this game. If you're down by 20, something really weird has
even
to happen.
Even that, like, you're down 17, you're down. Nope. That's a lot. It still seems like a lot.
It is, but it's not over yet. With NBA teams that are down 15, 16, 17, you don't win them a lot, but you can win them.
Mm-hmm. It happens.
12 is basically a tie. You know what I mean? In the NBA, it is. It just, you get those 16-4 runs that happen nonstop along the way. Hopefully the Lakers get up by 20 tonight against Minnesota. This is another one of those games.
No Carl Anthony Towns.
No Cat. Yep. They're playing at home. Anthony Davis will play, hopefully. Cross your fingers and hope that he goes. D'Angelo Russell will not. We were talking about this morning. Like, this is just such familiar ground where it feels here we go again, win, and maybe you feel okay, there's one more, we're a little bit closer, lose, and it's like, oh boy, here we go again. I don't even know how to feel about this other than they really need to win the game.
I don't hate, let me properly explain this. I don't hate their position. I don't hate where they're at right now. I hate not knowing who's going to play and who's not going to play, right? And that is kind of the season. There's a very good chance Bron's not going to play another regular season game, okay? There's a very good chance. That's just, I think that's apparent.
I think it's more likely than not.
I think if they are in a spot where there's 8 games left, Bron's gone through that 3-week, whatever it is, and you kind of know they're going to be in the play-in tournament.
What if they're exactly where they are right now? They're close, but they're not in. They're a game out. They're in 11th place.
Then I think Then I think he tries to play.
Yeah.
I think he tries to play. I do. But when I say I don't hate where they're at, I really do think that some of the teams that they're competing with right now that they're fighting against, I still think the Lakers are going to get in the play-in tournament. Now, the only way they get in the play-in tournament is Anthony Davis, of course, has to be there. And D'Angelo Russell has to be there. D'Lo's not going to be there tonight. The assumption is that AD is going to be there. And if we're just going to take based off of AD, this is from Darvin Ham's mouth, not mine.
Mm-hmm.
He's 100%. But they're just going by.
But he didn't play.
But he didn't play because they're going by whatever it is, right? Sure. So whatever. That means you have 2 back-to-backs left. So I'm just going to assume then AD is also not going to play in the back-to-backs.
Okay.
Again, just my assumption.
I got you.
He's 100%, he's this. So that means AD plays, and maybe D'Angelo Russell comes back, hopefully within the next couple games. I think they get into that play-in tournament. I think the question is that basically it? So are we just kind of saying that, all right, you're going to get in the play-in tournament, and then there's a good chance that your season will probably end there? Because, Trav, if you're the number 10 seed, that means you have to win 2 games in a row on the road just to get in.
Yep.
That's not easy.
No.
That's not easy.
No.
We don't know the health of some of these other players. I guess if I kind of presented to you the best case scenario the rest of the way and the worst case scenario the rest of the way, I would look at it as the worst case is they try to get in the play-in and are not good enough to be one of the top 10 teams in the Western Conference. That to me is the worst case. Bron still, you kind of don't know now, all right, health-wise, what does that look like moving forward? Best case scenario, you get in one of those top 10 spots. And then you get out of the play-in tournament, and then you got a first-round matchup against the Denver Nuggets, and more likely than not, the Denver Nuggets would beat you in a 7-game set if you're not if you're not healthy. That's probably the best-case scenario moving forward.
The worst-case scenario to me honestly feels like what we've seen for the last 5 months. You're kind of sort of near it, but you never get in it. Where you can almost lie to yourself game to game that, hey, no, they got a chance for the simple reason that they've always kind of been in it, but they've never been in it.
Yeah.
Where you keep tricking yourself, hey, if these other teams continue to play just as bad as we do,
yeah,
we can kind of sneak, and it doesn't happen. And you finish in 11th.
Sure.
Or 12th. That to me is the worst.
The season ends April 9th, and the tease was there the whole time.
The whole way. You never got out of that hole.
What sucks is that that's the tease. Is that it's not even that you're in the top six. No, the tease is that you're just barely getting to 10, which doesn't guarantee you anything.
And two road games to get into
two road games to get in.
Right. Had to get a host one in crypto.
But that's the worst case scenario, which is just more of the same, which is Anthony Davis is in and out of the lineup. And you got a guy like D'Angelo Russell who is something less than his best because he's playing hurt, right? Like that injury obviously is a real injury. He's missed some time, and when you
four
saw him
straight games,
and it was a bad injury.
Yeah,
like when you saw it, you're like,
freak accident outside. It wasn't even during play.
It was just a bad deal. But it was also one of those I've seen that before. And even when he comes back, if he's not exactly who he needs to be. I think he's kind of the key to the puzzle myself. I really do, because, like I said to you, yes, I'm done hoping that Anthony Davis turns into something other than what he's been. If we get it, great, but I'm not going to count on it. If it shows and he's good, I have faith that D'Angelo Russell can give us good D'Angelo for a month. Mm-hmm. I have faith in that if he's healthy. That's the worst case scenario. The best case scenario
is... Can you
just,
before you define you're done with AD... Do you mean what portion of the AD?
All of the above,
done?
Really. But what I was meaning in that specific sense was how many games do they have? 19? He's going to play in 16 of the 19. I'm done thinking that.
So
that's
it's kind of funny that's where you go when it comes to that, because I'm done with the AD when he's on. I saw another article today, and it was another story. AD's got to be the guy. I'm like, I'm done with that portion.
Me too.
I'm done with that portion. But that doesn't mean that I'll take AD's 25 and 10 a night. I'll take that.
Sure.
In a heartbeat. I just don't know when. He's just got to be there.
I'll take whatever he gives us. I just don't expect it to be there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if it's one of those things that if it's good, great. I'm not going to throw it away.
But you mean physically on the court.
I mean all of it, Al.
Okay.
I literally mean all of it. If you get good, great. I'll gladly take it, but I'm not doing that. Hey, you know, if he does this, I'm not. I'm doing it with D'Angelo Russell. I'm doing it if LeBron can come back for the final four games of the season, five, whatever the number is. Yep. I'll do it with them.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it with him. I'm over it.
With Bron being out, I couldn't agree more that D'Angelo Russell is so important right now, but he's missed four games in a row.
Honestly, you know what the tipping point was for me yesterday? Mm-hmm. Because, look, I've been close to it most of the season with AD. It was the mismatch,
the
mishmash of quotes that came out of that. They were so contradictory and so unclear. And I said it to you yesterday. I really think they did Anthony Davis a disservice yesterday, because now you guys can't even keep your story straight on what's going on. Hmm. So now I don't know what it is. So now I don't care anymore. I don't want to say that's not the right way to put it. It's not that I don't care.
Maybe you trust the comments less. You trust the quotes less. Yeah.
When the ball goes up, if he's out there, cool. I'll watch. If he's not, it kind of it is what it is. Mm-hmm. D'Angelo Russell needs to play sooner than later.
Yeah, he does.
Hopefully, he gets out there Sunday.
You know, it looks like he's going to start on Sunday as well.
Steph's
ready.
Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah.
By the way, they're starting to play some good ball.
But there's the difference. Like what we've seen from them when they got their guys. Pretty darn good.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of ambiguity. With the Lakers with their guys, there's still ambiguity. The Warriors, not so much. Not really ambiguous how Juan Soto has done in spring training. Got me thinking about something I haven't thought about in Major League Baseball in, I don't know, 20 years? It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
So I mentioned to you that Michael had a baseball game yesterday in Lake Elsinore. So we drove over the...
What state is Lake Elsinore in?
Kansas.
Okay.
it's not close. So we drive over there, and we get there way too early. Mm-hmm. And so we got a little time to kill, and Susan wants to get something to eat. So we go to this place, chain place. Mm-hmm. Fine, Chili's, right? So we go to a Chili's. Susan wants to get something to eat. Perfect. We sit down, order the drinks, and Susan gets a salad, and we're sitting there, and food comes out, and it's all good, and no complaints about anything. And the waitress is kind of walking by our table. I need you to look at me for this part. So and we make eye contact, right? Mm-hmm. Like not in and like this. Like she, and I kind of just like nothing. Just like, you know, when you randomly make eye contact with somebody, you mm-hmm. go like that, right?
Like a smile or no? Because that wasn't a smile,
but not hostile either. Just like I acknowledge that we're looking at each other. That's it. Just an acknowledgement that we're looking at each other. Like,
yeah.
Like that, right? Not hostile, but not
okay. Before you, friendly before you either. Go with the description,
yeah.
The facial expression that I just read from
okay.
you was a little bit like you need something from the person.
Okay,
and it also had a little bit of like.
I got condescension. Yeah.
Where you been?
Really?
Like, okay, like where you been?
Then this is my fault. Then this is 100% my fault because I wasn't, that's not what I was shooting out there. It was just, I just realized that you and I made eye contact with each other and yeah. I didn't want to just stare. I didn't, and you know what the response was back yeah. to me? What? Not, can I help you? Do you need something? What? Like, nothing. She goes, oh, okay.
And that
just
was it?
Kept moving. What?
Okay. Her response?
Maybe it's my fault.
No. Her response, that's not the right response. What she should have said is, you know, just because this is her job, this is the industry, everything else, okay, you're going to have some people maybe feel are a little bit more unpleasant than yeah. others. I'm not describing you just yet.
I understand.
But I think if she would have said, can I help you with something?
Do you need something?
Something like that. But I'm not kidding. The facial expression you gave.
Okay.
Can you do it again? Facial expression was a little
Emily,
bit.
Are they right?
Like where?
Yeah, they're right.
Where
yeah.
are you?
Yeah,
like you haven't
aggressive.
Been around for a little bit.
Oh, okay. Then that's my fault. I take it all back.
Because there was
add a smile to it.
Yeah, that's the only difference. There was just no. There was no. If you're gonna acknowledge somebody, I'll give you an example. Right? I kind of go.
Well, you kind of had like your expression without words was what to her as well is what I kind of read. So your expression is saying
I'll take
so
ownership of it.
She's verbally saying what.
But if you added, it's because you have no facial expression.
What if I went, added what, little... what? What? What do you mean what?
I had a, how do I describe this? I had a man down yesterday. Went to a restaurant yesterday, okay? Just same place that you went to. Sichuan impression. Same thing. Sichuan, I think, is
Sichuan,
the proper.
I believe.
S-I-C-H.
Sichuan? Okay.
Sichuan.
Yeah, who
okay.
knows?
Anyways, obviously Chinese restaurant, right?
Yes.
Ordered a beer. Bro, there I am just eating my food. Everything's going okay. The Kung Pao chicken is amazing.
Did you get a Chinese beer? Did you get a Tsing Tao?
That's exactly the beer that I got.
Yeah, of course. You go to a Chinese restaurant, you get a Tsing Tao.
Exactly.
That's what you get.
Literally the exact beer. Like, yeah. They had Sapporo as one of the options.
That's Japanese.
I know.
That's what
that's
you get
why
with sushi.
I was like, I don't want that.
You go to Korea, you go to, or Koreatown, you go to Soju.
I got that one.
Tsing
okay?
Tao.
Tsing Tao. Okay. The green, it's yeah. the green bottle. Okay. So I got that sitting right next to me. They pour it in the nice glass. Everything's all good to go. Sipping my beer, having my dinner. Got a beef dish that's there right as well. Bro. Knocked over my beer. I don't even know how I knocked it over. The whole thing.
About they replace it?
80% of it. So here's what happened. 80% of the beer hit the ground. 20%
glass
of the
break?
Beer, glass did not break.
Okay.
Okay. It actually stayed on the table and just got knocked over and just leaking like a faucet. okay? I still don't even know how I knocked it over. My girl said, I don't know how you knocked it over either. It was kind of weird. Anyways, 20% gets on my jeans, 80% gets on the floor. The guy comes around, he goes, can I get you another beer? And initially I said, like almost kind of embarrassed that I spilled the beer. I'm like, no, it's okay. The second guy came around, can I get you another beer? I'm like, I'll take the other beer. Give me the second
beer. They ding you for two or one?
Ding me for one.
Yeah, good. Good yeah. Good on them.
That was good on them.
That's what you're supposed to do.
But what am I doing? Knock over the beer.
I thought you'd say that they came by and then they charged you for a second beer.
They asked twice, and both times they were like, yeah. You're not getting charged. Yeah. I'm like, I know that. But yeah.
Well, that you don't
it's not
always
a guarantee.
Know that.
No, it's not a guarantee.
Yeah, it's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, man, the guy spilled 80% of his beer.
I think
let's
I know why.
Take care of
I think
that.
I know why I spilled it. I get so excited
from
Kung
Pao.
I get so excited for Kung Pao chicken. I don't know what
pretty
to do.
Good. It's pretty good. Juan Soto's hitting 800.
Yep.
That's not an exaggeration. That's what he's hitting in spring training. Now, it's 8 for 10. It's early, obviously. But I think that this is kind of an extreme representation of what we might see during the regular season, where a phenomenal talent like Juan Soto, mm-hmm. where we've tweaked the rules a little bit to give offensive players an advantage. Mm-hmm. You've got a guy that's probably one of the three or four best offensive players in the league anyway, who gets hot, which he obviously is, leads to he's gotten 8 hits and 10 at-bats. It's baseball. He could go 0 for his next 20 and it
sure.
wouldn't be weird.
Sure.
But it kind of made me start thinking about something I haven't thought about since really Tony Gwynn a million years ago. Could we see somebody mess around with 400 now that we're playing baseball again? Now that the second baseman is going to be where the second baseman's supposed to be, that the shortstop isn't behind second base, that the third baseman's not in left field or right field, that we're playing baseball again, a talent like Juan Soto with all of the advancements we've made in playing baseball. And guys throw 100 miles an hour now, so that makes it harder. But so maybe it's not 400, but see a guy mess around and hit 375, 380, because we haven't seen anything close to that seemingly in
Freddie
forever.
Freeman.
Right, guys hit 310 now, and they're monsters.
But Freddie seems like one of those guys, too, that...
I don't know if he runs well enough. You got to have a little speed. You got to be able to run. Like that's why that Pete Rose,
just
Ichiro,
basically like places the ball wherever he wants, right? That is Tony Gwynn.
A, is it possible? And mm-hmm. B, do we have any interest in it? Or do we still just want to see it? Like, for instance, Freddie Freeman wants it. I want to see him hit 330, but I want to see him hit 35 home runs mm-hmm. and kind of be that sort of player as opposed to... I'm going to try to hit 380, but I'm just going to try to spray the ball all over the field.
I think any time you get close to numbers like that, like just ridiculous numbers
it's been
like 80
that, years.
Any time that you're, if let's say we're in July and someone's batting, like you said, 377, you're close enough to where you start telling yourself, is this dude, and that attention starts going more towards just that
sure.
batting average, right? So I get what you're saying about the Juan Soto specifically, I will say, and you and I talked about this before even really spring training started, I'm like, I think this guy's going to have a year.
I do too.
Part of it is because, you know, you showed up to San Diego, what was that, in August, and right when you got there, you're in a playoff push. You don't really have a second to kind of get a second to catch yourself, get comfortable with the city, all that stuff. The other part of it is all the rule changes that are going to go in favor of Juan Soto, who, by the way, I don't know how many times a dude hit in the shift last season. Every ball he hit was in the shift.
It seemed like it.
Which should be a single, right?
That's what I'm getting at, right?
Yeah.
That you have an extraordinary talent, and they built new rules to help a guy that didn't need a lot of help to begin with.
Well, to answer your question about do people want to see that, or are they
would
more...
Would you get excited about it?
I would.
What if you... Okay, let me change it a little bit.
Yeah.
If he were on the San Francisco Giants, would you be excited about it?
So I was going to say, just in general, if somebody's flirting with that type of a record, yes.
Yeah, I think
right?
so
like,
too.
And I'm going to use this as an example. Maybe not the best, but it's happened a couple times this year in the NBA. Somebody's got 12 threes, and the record is 14. And I don't care if they're playing for the Blazers or they're playing for Charlotte or whatever the case is. Just naturally, somebody chasing a record is of interest to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a broad thing or not.
Yeah, it's that one. The baseball ones are a little different, though, because guys hit 10 threes a lot, and it's like, okay, we're getting, like, there's not guys hitting 380 every year.
No, and that's one game. Yeah. No, you're right about
yeah,
that. That's one game.
It's 6 months of doing what it is. There's also a story about once the Padres already kind of kicking the tires on Soto and Josh Hader and extending both of them. It's really fascinating how they're going about it. The Dodgers are having or potentially could have a really unusual season for them in that they're not very deep. They're not nearly as dominating as they've been over the last few years, or at least we expect them not to be. And the Padres are getting every good player, and not just grabbing them like, hey, let's throw all our eggs in this one basket for now. They're collecting baskets for the next several seasons. If they re-ups, because Soto's going to get 350 or 400 at least.
Didn't he churn down four?
Maybe.
I don't remember the Nationals or something like that?
But at some point, don't you have to say yes to that number? Because, look, injuries happen. Bad luck happens. Mm. This is what Mike Trout did, right? Mike Trout got $438 million or whatever it was from the Angels, and he said yes, and he should have said yes because you don't say no to $500 million. But if the Padres just go out and do all of that right now, and they're locked in, they have five guys making $300, $400 million.
So this is the one thing I'll say about SD is – and Juan Soto, he had kind of some interesting quotes. Soto said, we're open to talking. We're just waiting. referring to Scott Boras. Boras said, it's very rare that a team can put together a group of players in the prime of their careers. I think the one thing that they're trying to do is, remember when Soto got traded to the Padres and we said they have three postseasons with him? One's already out the book, right? So I think what they're trying to do with Machado, with Tatis, with
Bogarts,
with... and potentially Soto, I think they're trying to say, can we just have like a five-year window? A five-year window to have these dudes and see what happens from there. And if it all collapses from there, then it collapses. The Soto thing I think is interesting because I don't think that they won't pay him. I think what they'll try to do is, you know how Machado had an out in his, and it was just Machado.
Yep.
I think they would give Soto an out wherever he wants. And let's just say in 5 years of his deal, Soto's like, my deal now can be worth this much, but you got 6 years of Soto in San Diego. Now, all of a sudden, all those guys that you gave up, you're okay with it.
He's the guy that you need to lock up. Machado's already probably on the back half of his prime. Bogarts, that deal could be bad a year from now. It really could. It probably won't, but it could. Soto is as close to a sure thing as there is.
Yeah.
He's as Tatis's deal might already be bad. It might, right? We'll see. Soto's pretty much a sure thing. Injuries are the wild, but outside of that, he loves baseball.
Yep.
He takes it very seriously. He plays every night.
He's already performed on the
amazing.
Biggest stage and won a World Series.
Yes. That's the guy you break the bank for, right? Yep. And because you're right, three postseasons, one's already gone. The third one next season,
you're
already on the clock for
you're
that.
Already on the clock.
You've got this one. This is the one you're guaranteed to have with him. Mm-hmm. You got one more. Mm-hmm. As weird as that sounds, that's kind of where you are.
What did I give up? We said SeaWorld and the Coronado Bridge.
So I threw in the Hotel Del.
You threw in the Hotel. Not cool, by the way. Not cool, by the way. I thought Hotel Del was still making some rent on. Legoland might have to go, and then
you can have Legoland.
And then the San Diego Zoo is gone too.
The zoo you want to keep.
Yeah.
The zoo is
and
a
the
institution.
8 freeway. We also just lost one of the freeways.
Wait, you want
to
get to stay, Mesa?
We have to stay off the freeway.
I need a back road into Arizona. Got to keep the 8. Got to happen. Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey guys, I'm excited because today I'm going to get to go to Disneyland after work. I'm going with my friend because she's visiting, and they're showing the Food and Wine Festival. So
very nice.
I'm excited to go check it out. I haven't been to this one or the one in Florida, so it should be cool.
You'll enjoy it. Yeah. It's fun.
What time does Disneyland close? Like 10?
Depends on the day.
Midnight. Usually Friday, Saturday nights.
And it depends on the summer, it's open to midnight, sometimes 1.
How long are you staying, Em? Do you think you'll stay like...
Until like 9:30, midnight. We're not
starting California then?
I asked her earlier today because we were talking about her trip, and I said, are you a fireworks person? Because if you are, Disneyland's are better than anybody's.
They're the best.
And she looked at me like I asked her if she liked eating dirt. It's like, am I a what? I'm like, no.
I really dislike fireworks. I'm not a fireworks gal, and so you can miss
that's
me with
so
that.
Un-American.
Okay.
I mean, they're fine. They're fine.
She hates 4th of July.
Yeah, don't even ask me.
Independence Day.
All right, so my first question, my first statement is, if you would want to meet any famous person, you would want to meet Guy Fretty. Al, Patrick Cap.
That's close to a fact. I mean, over him, I've said this before. I thought Conan was so freaking hilarious to me. Conan O'Brien, just his sense of humor, his dry sense of humor. I'm going to go Conan. So this is a cap, and Guy Freddy should change his name to Guy Freddy.
Hey, Berg?
Guy Freddy, yes. Guy Fieri, no. So it depends on
it's
how
Guy Freddy. It's not Guy Fieri. No.
So, no, I mean, I don't really care too much to meet famous people too often anymore. It was like this is really cool. Yeah. Now it's like,
But somebody that you think like, hey, that'd be fun to hang out with someone like that. I'd like to see what this guy is behind the scenes or whatever.
Yeah, somebody that's right now. I mean, somebody that's passed away, like George Carlin, I would have loved to have just hung out with and see what he was all about because he was a crazy, very funny person. But right now, I don't know. I can't think of anybody.
Nobody?
Off the top of my head, no. So Guy Freddy. So yeah, sure, Guy Freddy.
I'm with Greg for the most part. Like meeting a famous person is not particularly interesting to me in any real way. But if you met somebody that was an astronaut, somebody that did something that I have no understanding of, no connection
you have curiosity to
but
everything
I have a
they do.
Million questions about what it's like to be in outer space, something like that.
Yeah.
Some guy that cooks, and I like Guy Freddy. I think he seems like a nice guy. I like his TV shows are really good. I like them.
He's a Raider fan.
But he's a Raider fan. He's a Warrior fan. He's a sports fan. Yeah. I love to cook. I think we'd have a lot in common. But because he's a famous TV personality, wouldn't really
Can I guess
me.
Taylor's?
Yeah.
Tyreek Evans. If it's not Tyreek.
I want to meet Guy Freddy, actually. I want him to cook for me. Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
If he's going to cook for me, I'd like to meet him.
I think I'd want to see meet Jamie Lee Curtis. She's been on like her Oscar run lately, and she just seems like a really lovely person to go see and hang out with. So I think there's a lot of celebrities I don't want to meet because I think that they have a personality that I might not gel with.
Do you want to meet Taylor Swift?
Or
is that like one of those where you meet your you don't want to meet your heroes?
I think that everyone who's met her has had nothing but great things to say about her. So I think that
I would
enjoy
completely.
Meeting her, but like I don't think that it ever will happen.
That goes.
I could.
That
Come
cuts
on, have faith.
Both ways. And I'm sure we've all had this experience. You meet somebody that you hold in incredibly
and
high
then
regard.
It changes by the
well,
time.
It's one of two things. You get confirmation of this is the right person that I picked, or like, this guy sucks.
And then it ruins everything.
It ruins everything. I'll give you the good one because I mentioned this to you the other day. My favorite baseball player as a kid was George Brett.
Yeah.
Through my career, I got a chance to meet him and have a few beers with him. He's awesome. He was exactly the guy that I wanted him to be.
Did he tell stories?
He told stories. Oh, he was funny. Great. It was great. I met another person in that same universe that I loved.
Completely different.
I was like, I really hope something terrible
what
happens.
What is their name rhyme with?
Terrible happens.
Yeah, it was awful.
What is their name rhyme with?
I think I've told you.
Meave?
No. We'll move on. We'll move on.
All right. So this year's Oscars, Everybody Wins gift bag is worth over six figures. Every year they're going to come out. Oh, they have ridiculous things. So one is like three nights for the nominee and up to seven friends at a newly renovated Farrah Punta. It's a place in Italy. A place in Italy.
Italian trip.
And then there's like luxury skincare. There's a plot of land in Australia to contribute to conservation. All this good. So there's a ton of really cool stuff in this like six-figure bag just for getting to the Oscars. So my statement is, we should have Mandy's gift bags. And an addendum to this is, what do you think should be in these gift bags? Berg, fact or cap?
Well, fact, but I think Tommy's gonna be really angry at me for saying fact. there's a lot of stuff. What should be in that stuff? Like a paddle ball for a pickleball
not
paddle?
Bad. Not bad.
So far, we're up to $19 net worth. In the bag.
Well, look, we're not going to be putting six-figure bags together.
And the only reason why I know it is because I was at Target yesterday getting the balls. They got the whole package. Like, you get the paddle and the balls, $19.99. I got the sleeve of balls by itself was $12.
You brought, like, three sleeves
I know.
Of balls.
Like, not a good idea.
Like, baseball cards for
you're
Travis.
You're
going to
have the same sleeve of pickleballs when you're 60.
Yeah. Sleeves, basketball cards that we had, we could put one into each bag and each sign it. You know, then we get a signature.
John Ireland.
What did you say about baseball cards?
Now the net worth $17. It went down.
It went down.
We got some baseball cards for Travis.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll take that.
All this good stuff. So Travis.
So something that goes through each person, like each host. Right?
I think fact for sure. And by the way, like what you're talking about, like a pack of baseball cards. If I think of pickleball, that would be really cool. Like not super expensive, but just fun. I will say, quick side story to all of this. When I worked for Jim Rome, he was a presenter at the ESPYs one year, and he got the ESPY gift bag.
Is that your Jerry Jones?
Baller.
Gift? Pretty cool gift bag. I don't know what they do now. Maybe it's the same, better, worse. I don't know. I got free laser eye surgery out of that bag.
That's amazing.
It, right? I got free.
How is that a price? That's unbelievable.
There were vacations. There was all these. And one of them was free laser eye surgery. And Jim's like, do you want this? I'm like, hell yes, I want this. It was terrific.
Has it held? Do you still have it? Still
great. Lasted 25 years before I finally had to start wearing these things.
Wow.
So I got the over.
Ow.
Well, let's just say if that's what the ESPYs were given, I want everybody to know that's what Bristol, Connecticut, and you see how it trickles down all the way down to like one market, how it just completely changes. Okay, a couple things I think everybody would love. In-N-Out gift cards. All right? So that's like doable.
Perfect.
That nobody's going to not want one of those.
We're up to $25.
This is where it might get a little bit more expensive. How about if, and this wouldn't happen, but everyone gets, just as an example, whether they're AirPods or something like that, and it's encouraging, listen to us on the app. Something along those lines, right? Like something that has that type of a tie. The Travis Matthew gear,
oh,
right?
That's great gear.
And we get them. I think if it's not everybody, but something along those lines where you get that stuff. I think things that people hear or they see that we kind of have here at the station to get a little bit of taste of that. Those would be a couple ideas.
Yeah, Taylor? Like a hat.
And then a trip to Spain.
I like the headphones idea. That's a really good idea. And maybe like coffee mugs, anything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we should include some of these cardboard cutouts. I think these are, put them
in the giant cardboard cutouts.
A million of them.
And then whatever we have in the vending machine.
Legalized marinara from
Pizza
Hut.
Such a good one.
Right. So good.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about who might play us in a movie, if we, you know, who you want if you were doing a biopic about yourself. So I think the more important question is who would be cast as the villain in your story? Okay, so you know who you would want to play the villain in your personal story. Taylor, fact or cap?
Fact. I think...
I thought we got along, Taylor.
Adrian Brody. I don't know.
Okay.
He'd be a good villain. My alter ego.
Like which actor or which person in our life?
So I think it's kind of a both question. So there, I don't want you to name the villain of your whole life.
Oh, no, I want you to name the name of the villain.
Do you want
in
them
life.
To be cast as a... You know, someone that doesn't look like them at all. Someone who is kind of painting them in a bad light. Or do you want to be kind of true to facts?
Taylor's should be, the villain should be Vlade because he didn't draft Luka. Okay, so that fits perfectly right there.
I can't hate Vlade.
Now I'm trying to think here. This is tough to do
I don't have like a
ourselves.
Personal nemesis right. in my life, right? There are a lot of people I don't like, but nobody that's like been in my way.
I know.
The course of my life.
I know.
Who do you got?
The girl from yesterday that you said
the
what?
The Chili's waitress.
Okay, give him the facial expression.
What?
I want to know if he read what we... Did you hear any part of this?
No,
So Susan and I were to dinner last night, and everything was fine. Like, we ordered the food. It was fine. Everything was fine, and it was just the waitress was kind of coming down the aisle, and we made eye contact at each other. And instead of just giving her a flat stare, or instead of going like this, I just kind of went... Like that.
What does that
and,
mean?
Okay.
And,
okay.
What does that mean?
But her response was,
what?
And I'm like, whoa, like nothing. I just,
if,
nothing.
Before her response, what did his face, because the facial expression that he gave read to me that I'm bothered with something and you haven't came to our table
100%.
In a second.
You
in a
were,
while.
Yeah, you were angry.
Yeah.
Like you didn't have enough water. You had
something.
Something was going on. You didn't have enough napkins. I don't know what it was. Something was wrong.
I already said I got it wrong. I already said it was my fault.
But I just wanted him to read the face.
I said I was wrong.
That was a rude, like, hey, what did it? What's going on here?
I swear I was not. Obviously, I did. Obviously, I did,
but that wasn't his intention.
My intent was: I realize we're looking at each other, but I don't need anything. That's kind of. I obviously did it incorrectly.
But whatever you did,
it was
like,
she read it the same way you guys did.
Yeah, because that's how you read things.
But how about her response? What? That's aggressive too.
Not like what? What?
I'll give it up to the waitress at that point, just because she's probably already had a bunch of tables that were giving her hell, and so did that happen on top of it? Like. All right.
I hadn't.
What now?
Everything had been fine. That's why I thought it was out of line.
Sorry, he's throwing off.
It was fine. Like, no, we hadn't complained. The food came out on time. The food was fine. Everything was fine.
Watch your RBF. I don't know what you want me to say.
Hey, Berg, what about this for you? Do you know who would play the villain in your story?
No.
Have a villain in your story?
No, there's not really a villain in my story. I mean, everybody, I kind of technically get
the
along
Trojan
with
from
people.
USC.
Yeah, sure. I hate all of them. But no, I think just if I could pick an actor, it would be the guy from Whiplash, the
J.K. Simmons.
J.K. Simmons, yeah. I think he would be the villain no matter who that person
Ed
is.
Ed Harris.
Oh, Ed Harris is a good one, too.
Good one.
Yeah.
Are you out?
But J.K. Simmons. For sure.
I don't think I could think of one. One of my favorite villains is Gus from...
Gus Fring, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite, but like he's a real villain.
John Esposito.
Yes.
He's a real villain. Like, he's really good. I don't know if that matches. It doesn't. I don't really have one. I don't really have somebody that would... unless you guys have a suggestion.
You don't hate anybody?
I don't really hate anybody, no.
You're on board.
Yeah. Well, Travis just hates all his neighbors.
No, I'm indifferent to. I hate a lot of people. Don't get me wrong.
I just have no interest.
I'm indifferent towards my neighbors. It's a little different along the way. Emily, do you have a nemesis?
I do have a nemesis, but I think the nemesis would be played by Laura Linney. I think she's great at playing a evil woman who's a little complicated, but you don't feel good for her. So that's why I want her to be my villain.
Will you name your villain?
Oh, we got one. John in Huntington Beach, Fullerton, the taco guy that left early.
Yes.
That is
played
your...
by Edward James Olmos.
I don't know who the guy is, but that's a great villain.
No, good bad guy.
Yeah,
that would be a good bad guy along the way. Emily is going to convince me that I need to watch something that's not a TV show, but actually something I really do want to like. I just don't anymore. It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. This is a good one, Slee, for you about your villain and who should play him.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey is Dean Spanos. How good is that?
Oh, that is good.
How good is that?
Is he allowed to act anymore?
Good. Well, it's a different question. Good job on that one, Aaron Palmer.
When I went to Target yesterday to look for the pickleball balls, as I'm doing so, I'm walking through the section. They just got kind of all Dodger gear, some Laker gear. There's a Los Angeles Chargers shirt. I just looked at it with disgust and kept walking.
Did you burn it?
Damn you, Dean.
Yeah. Kevin Spacey is Dean Spanos.
Good.
It works.
Very
all right,
good.
So you hear the music right there. That, of course, means it is NCAA tournament time, which just around conference tournaments in some of the smaller conferences have already started.
Yep.
Everyone else will get going next week as well. I flipped open my computer this morning, firing through a bunch of different stories. UCLA basketball stuff's everywhere. Should they be a number one seed? If they win their last two games, will they be a number one seed? And can they make a Final Four run? There was a piece about Ben Howland the last time they went to the all of those sorts of things, right? And I want to care. I want to feel about the NCAA tournament the way I used to feel about the NCAA tournament. I just don't. So, Emily, I know you are the college basketball person on our program. Sell me on why I should watch UCLA in the tournament and get excited about
it. I'm so excited for this. I'm actually really excited for this.
I have two separate things. One about UCLA specifically, and then two, why this tournament might be really great as well. So, first, I went back and I looked at the other most recent winners of the national championship. So it was last year with Kansas. It was the year before that with Baylor. And then there was a COVID season and then Virginia. All of them have almost a similar track, schedule, and win-loss record as UCLA sits currently right now. They all were stacked with veterans.
Okay.
Lots of veterans and some new younger shooters and like the perimeter stuff that they can do. And they had coaches that were some of the best coaches in college basketball at that time. So those are all these things that like are lining up that UCLA can do well. UCLA may have Pac-12 only might get three guys in. Is that right? Three into the tournament essentially.
They could get
two,
four.
Three.
Well, yeah, right now
UCLA. Who else is going
to
get in?
Arizona State has a chance to get in, even though they lost.
They might
UCLA.
Be. They're a bubble. So Arizona State is kind of
so
bubble.
Is USC. USC's yes. a bubble.
You're losing me.
Right. No. I'm sorry. I just kicked it up. So they dominated their division.
They won 23 in a row.
23
right?
of 25.
At home.
At home. Okay.
Yes. In the last 25 games, they've won 23 of them. So it's. All these things are stacking up to where it's a great story to follow.
The
and
music
I think,
faded. Does that have anything to do with
doesn't
it?
Help.
Has it? Doesn't have anything to do with it. So, but the only thing is, being a one seed this year might be very dangerous because there's a lot of teams that are very vulnerable. So there has been more number one overall ranked teams that have lost this year than in any year of college basketball of late. So it's something that every big team is very vulnerable, which is why March Madness specifically might be really interesting this year. We have incredibly packed conferences. So the Big Ten and the Big 12 are both really deep and really good and beat up each other a lot. And so they're going to be really hard to get through. And then there's going to be a lot of kind of people that might come in. Let's see what else I have. March Madness has some really – there are teams that could win – that are really interesting to follow. So there's Alabama, all the stuff off the court with Alabama, but they could be one of the best teams and that has been created in a long time.
They've been number one this year.
Okay, I got to jump in.
Okay.
I think this still falls along the same line of every college basketball year. And if you're UCLA, I will wait for them to get in the Sweet 16 to where it starts becoming interesting. To be honest with you, I think that's kind of – I don't know why it's different than any of the other years.
Sorry, Em, this is your
I have one more selling point, and this is maybe my last stitch thing. If you like Jim Nance, this is a really good thing for Jim, to watch this March Madness tournament because it's his last year doing the March Madness tournament. It's going to be in Houston, which is his alma mater, and his alma mater, Houston, is really, really good. So it might be a really cool story to see him call Houston win national championship.
That's an interesting storyline.
So that's the only thing that's not UCLA related.
I'm a Nance fan.
So to Emily's point, this college basketball year is different than all the other college basketball years because there's not that top-heavy team that is like, this team is so much better than everybody else. They're going to run right through, and it's going to be that type of year.
But I don't know
Everybody is kind of on even playing field. I don't know if that's a good thing. So you're going to see more upsets in the first couple rounds, which everybody loves the upsets in the first two rounds, and that's it. Then you want to see chalk the rest of the way, right? So you're going to get a lot of that. You're going to see teams that are, like UCLA, for example. I know I'm a huge UCLA homer, but they're one of the best defensive teams in the country. They have seniors in Jaime Jaquez, who's one of the best players in the country, and Tiger Campbell, who's also one, and David Singleton, who's also a guy that shoots
similar
threes.
To the other teams that have won recently.
Right. They're veteran teams that have been through this for the last 3 years, amazing, one of the best defensive teams in the country, and they're going to go far because of that situation. Yeah. So you have that, but there's all these other teams, the Houston, Alabamas, Kansas is going to be really good. Purdue, like the Big Ten teams, are going to have a little bit of trouble. So that's why it's a little bit more exciting because there's going to be upsets early and they're going to be close games with exciting finishes early on, and then you're going to get a little more chalky down the road.
So of all the pitches that I heard, the part I like the best is that Alabama could be in the Final Four, and the story surrounding that program is so wild where their best player may or may not have been involved in a murder. Like, he provided a weapon that took place with him. It's like, it's bananas. It's like a movie.
He's likely to be the top draft pick that's playing American college basketball because it's usually right now for the top draft picks, we're not going to see them play. You can see him play potentially.
It's a wild story. It's weird and upsetting and all of those things, but that's by the way, it's not like they'll be in the tournament. They could easily win the whole damn thing.
Absolutely.
That's wild.
Or we could have a repeat champ with Kansas. Kansas is up there. We have UCLA, who's local. And you have Houston, which could win.
You didn't mention San Diego State at any point.
They're top 25, Al.
So while you won't like UCLA, specifically, you won't like UCLA. Not because you don't like UCLA. That's not it. It's because they're not exciting.
UCLA. He doesn't like UCLA football, the hype behind UCLA football.
Sure, I'm not even getting into the actual the letters of UCLA. It's the fact that you're not going to like them because they're a defensive team. They are going to hold teams under 60 points, and you want to see 80s. That's not what's going to happen.
That's a little bit of it. Honestly, the part about college, I don't know the players.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem. But if I can see Kansas play UCLA, that at least looks right.
Mm-hmm.
If I can see,
you're gonna see Gonzaga get through,
that's great. Like, but I'm gonna need some of that. Like, I don't like Alabama is not a basketball school, but that story is really bizarre, so you'll have my attention. It's hard to root for things when you don't know the players.
I'm not gonna root for
Houston. In the past when the tournament would starts on a Thursday, games tip off at like 9 a.m
I can't wait.
In the past, for me, 10 plus years ago, 9 a.m. that Thursday, that was fun.
Yeah, it was.
Now, it doesn't really do anything for me. I need to go further into the tournament before I really start watching some of these games.
UCLA's guys have been around a long time. They're very good. And so I kind of know some of them. That'll help a little bit along.
You know
the way.
All those dudes.
I know two of them. If I'm being perfectly
Tiger
honest,
Campbell, Jaime Jaquez.
I know Jaquez and I know Campbell.
Well, there's two freshmen.
And I know the coach.
Amari Bailey is a really good player. That's a guard.
Keep my eye on
Adem Bona is another guy that you're going to see. He's going to be a pro.
Al, pay attention.
Yeah.
March 18th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Agape Pickleball Center, Miles Square Park in Fountain Valley is where you are going to display all of your pickleball skills in front of all of Southern California. If you want to come out and see Al be good at it and me be terrible at it,
I don't know.
Seating is available at ESPNLA.com. The event, of course, is open to the general public. We're talking about our inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament on March 18th. Thanks to Michelob Ultra, Bud Light Seltzer, Pizza Hut. There will be TVs to watch the college basketball tournament.
Right.
Papa Shot, pickleball demos and lessons. There's stuff for your kids to do. Bring your kiddos out. There's a beer garden. There's food. There's drinks. There's all sorts of stuff. You will have a great time. I guarantee it. So come on out, hang out with us March 18th, 10 to 4, for our inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament. Lakers back on the court tonight. We're getting close to the end of the line. Let's give Darvin Ham a three-quarters of the way through report card. Coming up next, it's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.